We've got a heck of a show planned for you this week. You're going to love hearing Caroline Stephen interview our team of trading experts so you can get the very latest market views, commentary, hints, and tips. And here is Caroline now.
Hello and welcome to this week's show. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have your trading company. Market wizard and the creator of SPAR3 trading program, Gary Stone, joins us today for an interview on what it takes to forge a mind of steel and succeed in the markets. What are the differences between professional and novice traders? And what are some surefire ways to build your trading confidence? Louise Bedford shares her reasons for working hard in the market in Mind Power. And here, some trading tips from my special report, as well as all about the crazy prices of tulips in trading trivia. But first up, here's the news for the week ending 9th of May with economist Jonathan Barrett. So how did the equities market close in New York on Friday?
Caroline, quite an interesting close, relatively steady. When you look at the Dow, it was up or up and down, sort of like 20 to 30 points. But that seems to be how the trading went towards the close of the week. Market pretty much undecided as to what they really want to do, whether they want to buy it or sell it.
What were the main features?
I guess when you look at it, I sort of tend to think that the market's pretty much focused on what's happening in Ukraine. And to me, that's quite important. Also, really what's happening to China as a source of economic growth. So I think the market's at a very undecided point, just looking for some momentum from either one of these factors.
So what has happened to China's economic growth?
Well, look, it's interesting. Premier Li came out over the weekend and said China's got to get used to the new norm, which is lower growth. They've always had double-digit growth. And when they're looking at 7.5%, sort of brings it in line to how we expect some of the more developed economies to work. But even at 7.5%, we still think that's very high for China. And if it does start to drop round below that 7%, that could be a bit of an issue for certainly some of our miners.
How do you think our equity markets will react to all this news?
I think, once again, it's very hard to take on new direction until we get a clearer picture. And it'll be quite interesting this week, particularly from China, because we do have some data out. We've got industrial production out on Tuesday and retail sales. Now, they're going to be very important to give us some direction as to how that economy is going. Last week, we had inflation data out of China, and that showed some deflationary pressures. So I think this will be a litmus test this week as to what the market will really think about how the economy in China is going. And as a result of that, to see how we're actually going to go in terms of our performance. Equities.
So the budget's out tomorrow. Any other releases we should be aware of?
I think the focus for the Australian market will be the budget. There's no doubt about it. A little bit disappointed, I guess, with new taxes, new levies, which I certainly disagree with at the moment, and they're not giving the economy a chance. But I think you'll find if putting those through will reflect badly in the polls for the coalition. But I think in Australia, we haven't got a lot of data. Of importance, so I think it'll be all about the budget.
What sectors were hot and what were cold?
I think once again we're going to really focus. I guess cold, you're looking at, I think more to do with the miners and some of the gold stocks. Gold certainly under a little bit of pressure. Miners, I'm concerned about iron ore. Iron ore prices dropped around about 7.5% late last week, and I probably expect that to continue. This week, China does have a surplus there. So I think the mining sector in for a little bit of an issue. When you look at the banking sector, relatively stable, and industrials, I think, readily stable, but I think probably come under a little bit more pressure. So as you can see, not exactly 100% bull this week. In fact, probably looking for a little bit more bearish news.
And for our technical analysts, did any patterns jump out from the charts last week?
I think, you have to. I think there's a couple that are quite interesting. Keep an eye on 5,400 for the local market. A breakthrough there, we'll see quite lower. Also interested in gold holding up around that 1270 level. We feel it might test that level again, and that's a very important level to keep an eye on. and a bit of a curve on the wheat market. We feel there's an important top being put in place there. So some bearish signs starting to unfold in that market.
Any opportunities you're looking at this week?
We had been long wheat for a while. We've closed out of wheat on Friday night, and we're still short the SPY and the Dow. So we're still looking for a little bit of correction. In my mind, it's always good to take a little bit of profit here until we get some definitive break on the top side for both those markets. So a little bit of profit and short, looking for a correction.
Jono Barrett, thanks so much for your time.
No problems, Caroline.
As a reward to you, our loyal listeners, we've created a special report called 50 Trading Tips to Fuel Your Profits. Go to talkingtrading.com.au/special report. The wisdom of our elite mastermind group is at your fingertips. Their practical hints will help you build your trading and create the extraordinary life you deserve. talkingtrading.com.au/special report. And now here are some excerpts from my special report. Number one. Guard your trading equity as if your life depends on it. Number two, if you lose more than 25% of your trading equity and you can't work out why, you need to consult your mentor. And finally, just like Luke Skywalker,
it is your destiny.
Your choices determine your destiny. And now Mind Power with Louise Bedford.
Work hard to learn about the markets. Listen to me. Pain is temporary. It may last for a minute, an hour, or a year, but eventually it will dissipate. If you quit, however, it will last forever, and you'll never escape from the fact that you made the decision to quit. Do you want to be a quitter, or do you want to push on and excel? Some of you have become spoiled by this cushy life. Every time you ever faced a challenge that looked insurmountable, you backed off. You shied away. I dare you to take a little pain. I dare you to step forward instead of stepping backwards. I dare you to seek out the people who can help you excel and hang off their every word and do exactly what they tell you to do. If you keep stepping back from the challenges you're facing, it means that you've decided to stay as a boy or a girl instead of growing up and becoming a man or a woman. It takes guts to grow. It takes maturity. If you commit your very being to this thing, if you breathe it, eat it, sleep it, and really immerse yourself in the world of the markets, you will need to work hard. But then I'll tell you that you can have whatever it is that you really want.
Gary Stone is the founding director of ShareWell Systems, the designer of SPA 3, and a market commentator to Sky Business News and ABC Radio. Gary is driven by a passion to help people achieve better results in the markets. And we talk to him now about surefire ways to build your trading confidence and the qualities necessary to achieve success. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Caroline.
So how do you achieve certainty in an uncertain environment like the markets?
Well, yeah, the market's probably one of the most uncertain environments that that we would take our wares and the things we know and go and execute in. The uncertainty is what gets a lot of people, because human beings crave certainty. And
yes.
It undoes a lot of people in craving that certainty. And the reason we can say it's uncertain is that most systems, methodologies, approaches, whether they're discretionary or mechanical or non-discretionary, you know, you'd end up losing more than 50% of the time. When I say losing, in terms of the trades that you do, more than 50% of the trades you do, or slightly less than 50%, but around about that 50% mark, are going to be lost trades in the market. And that makes things very uncertain. So how do you achieve certainty? Well, there's a law called the law of large numbers, which basically says that if you have a statistical or probabilistic edge in your favor, and you execute that edge over a large sample, the law of large numbers, that you can achieve certainty. So the way you achieve certainty is to have an edge, a positive mathematical expectation, if you like. A statistical edge is what it's also called, a probabilistic edge. It goes by a number of names, and then you execute that edge over a large sample, and that's how you can achieve certainty.
So how do you achieve a big picture perspective and maintain it when you are trading in the markets?
Well, perspective, and again, big picture perspective rather than just perspective, is key. What I mean by that is that you want to see how your approach has actually performed in your given market that you're trading over a large period of time, over a long period of time, through many kinds of market conditions. And that allows you to get a start, a midpoint, and if you like, a futuristic view of where you may or may not go with your approach in the market. So the way to achieve a big picture perspective is to take your statistical edge and stress test it over multiple market conditions and see how it goes. Is the feedback you get is an equity curve over that period of time. So you look at the equity curve, stress test your edge over multiple market conditions, and you emulate how you might trade it into the future, and you see how it went in the past. And you do that thousands of times over, and you get a picture of how your equity curve, your portfolio, would have performed in the past, and therefore you get a big picture perspective of how it may perform in the future.
Why do you need a big picture perspective?
Fantastic question. The short answer is to keep on keeping on when the going gets tough. If you don't have that perspective, there's always going to be in the short term, we're going to get tested. The pressure is going to be put on us by the market. Whatever approach we have will get out of sync with the market for periods of time. And that's when we get tested. We get lots of negative feedback, and we need to take that negative feedback in the short term and put it into perspective from a big picture perspective over the long term.
So what does it take in a person to ride those rough periods?
Mental wherewithal, basically. strong psychology. This is a game of psychology, there's no doubt about it. And the way we get that strong psychology is by doing research to determine a statistical edge and then to stress test that edge historically. And the more, what that does is it builds trust. And the more trust that you can have in your edge and your approach, the more confidence that you'll have. And confidence doesn't guarantee an outcome. What it does is it guarantees the higher level of confidence. The guarantee comes that you'll execute the edge regardless of what's going on in the market and what feedback you're getting from the market.
So what's noise in the market?
Yeah, another good question. Now, noise, somebody who doesn't have a defined approach to how they actually execute in the environment of a market, everything would be noise. All the feedback we get from TV, newsletters, people's opinions, the internet, you name it, just the market itself would be noise. The way you can define noise is by having a defined approach and writing that down in as specifically as you can, and that would effectively be the criteria you use to determine what you buy, when you buy, how much you buy, and when you sell. Those are the only four decisions we need to make. The criteria that we use is your specific plan, approach, system, whatever you want to call it. Anything outside of those criteria is noise.
What advice would you give to someone who's just entering the markets?
Well, research. Go to school. Effectively, I was talking to somebody yesterday who's spent 6 years at university, learning their getting a qualification. I was going to say learning their craft. When you go to university, you don't learn your craft. You get the qualifications to go down a specific path to learn your craft. People come to the market and think that because they know what a stock market is and they can look at a chart, they're going to make money in this environment. Untrue. We need to go to school. We need to go to university. We need to study. And that study comes in the form of plenty of reading, finding mentors, finding out how other people have done it, the mistakes they've made, try and shortcut the mistakes, and then doing research, lots of research and reading. That's what you have to do. There's no shortcut, unfortunately. You just have to go through that learning curve and that knowledge. I talk about knowledge. Knowledge is learning about facts and things, but training is acquiring skills. So you can gain knowledge pretty quickly, But the real key to making money in the market is training, and that is gaining skills. You need to go and gain those skills to learn to execute in the environment of the market.
What's the differences between a professional trader and a novice amateur trader?
Wow, good question. A professional, I talk about professionals and so-called professionals. To me, a so-called professional is somebody who manages a fund, because so-called professionals are people that work in the industry but don't outperform the market. To me, a professional trader, active investor, whatever you want to call them, is somebody who is getting a return on their time. And that is somebody who, whatever approach they use, actually outperforms the market over a large sample. So it does better than the so-called professionals. And somebody who's a novice would be somebody who is struggling, is inconsistent in the market, is subjective, reacts to noise, knee-jerk reacts to situations, feels betrayed, feels despair, goes through all the negative feedback cycle, if you like. A professional is somebody who is outperforming the market, not necessarily every single day or week or month, but somebody who is consistent, objective, feels comfortable with the edge that they're executing. They have a purpose. They have a written plan. They've discovered certain principles in the market that they use in their process. They have passion. They've done their preparation, being researched, and I've spoken about research of an edge and doing simulation. They've taken all of that preparation, passion, principles, planning, and purpose, and put it into a process. And effectively, what they do is they focus on executing the process flawlessly, and don't knee-jerk react to short-term negative feedback or short-term down periods in the market. They plow through. They've gained perspective. They've gained practice through executing lots of trades and doing it according to their process. They are patient. They persevere. And that results in a good sign, a good mindset in terms of psychology, and ultimately profit.
Gary, very quickly, you are the creator of SPA3 Trading Program. What does it offer people?
It basically shortcuts all of that. So, I was talking about planning and principles and preparation and process and perspective and practice and patience and perseverance, et cetera, et cetera. All of that's been done for you. So we have we've done that research. We have a statistical edge, which has been around now for that statistical edge has been executed in the market since 1998. Refine that in terms of the tools that you need to make it far more efficient. Going back to day one to now, we have tools that make it efficient in terms of scanning and portfolio management and risk management and money management and things like that. And it's a mechanical methodology that trades in the medium term. Average hold period of about 5 to 6 weeks per trade is a process that allows you to manage a portfolio in the equities market, both here in Australia and on the NASDAQ.
Gary Stone, thank you very much for your time.
It's a pleasure, Caroline.
Louise Bedford here. Want to gain a glimpse into the depraved, genius-like brain of Chris Tate? You need to register on the blog tab of tradinggain.com.au. Chris's blog is jam-packed with witty observations about the markets that you can use to trade like a machine.
Last week's trading trivia question was, what was tulip mania? It was a 17th century investment bubble in Holland. In 1593, Holland was introduced to the first tulip bulbs from none other than Constantinople. The popularity of bulbs was enormous, and in 1610, they were even used for bridal dowries. Then, in 1634, the Dutch middle class started buying them, which caused them to become a status symbol. The following year, a single bulb sold for more than $76,000. And the year after that, bulbs began trading on the Amsterdam Stock Exchange. In 1637, the glow was off bulbs and investors started to sell. Prices tanked by 90% in 6 weeks. This week's trivia question is, what are the dogs of the Dow? That's all we have for you today. I'd like to thank our contributors, Gary Stone, Jonathan Barrett, and Louise Bedford. In the Trading Game Mentor Program, it's Options Week. So stay tuned next week for an interview on these leveraged instruments and covered call strategies. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team, thanks for joining us. See you next time.
You've been listening to TalkingTrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.